cold and gray Minnesota morning, Lukey sits in the tree, overlooking the corn in the meadow.
In the meadow.
With a browning on his thigh. But there's one thing that he don't see. It's a deer with a rack as big as a tree near the meadow.
Near the meadows.
Then one day in anticipation, young buck runs away. Mark gets his gun. So bizarre. Doesn't shoot. The deer's too far. Marky starts to cry.
Hey! I tell you what, that's a hell of an intro. The heck with Joe Giuliano's music, that's a hell of an intro. Let's keep that as our bumper music the rest of the season. How does that sound?
Consider it done.
Hey, if you guys, thanks, Brendan. It's kind of fun. We did that.
Redo.
Here we go again. That was something we did a couple of weeks ago because it's a lot of fun. All we do is have fun here, and I'd love to make fun about my buddy Mark here, and he's to my left, and Sam's to my left as well.
And the good thing about that song was Strew wrote that like a few minutes before the show started.
I'm a guy who works off the cuff. Yeah. I'm pretty good at that kind of stuff. Hey, Brandon, you'll get a kick out of this. You can't. No, that I'll share it with you off the air. It's not dirty or anything, but you have to see it to appreciate it.
Oh, okay. It's a visual.
Yeah, because Sam's pretty funny. I mean, and he said something to me this last weekend that I thought was very, very quick and funny. And I'm not the first person you've done it to because everyone's shorter than you are.
Honestly, that was the first time I've ever done that.
Well, that was pretty good.
I can describe it to Brandon.
No, I'm gonna
say it.
All right.
So shocker, Strew was mouthing off to me, right?
On the golf course.
During golf. Money involved.
Yes, money involved. And so I said,
why don't you stand up and show him and bring the mic up to you?
So I went to his forehead and then came to my belly button. I said, I've had it up to here with you.
Now, that's funny. Now, if you guys don't know the Four Outdoorsman, I'm 5'7", 154 pounds. Sam 6'5", about, and he's saying
no,
330.
You say my weight all the time.
You're taller than 6'5", too.
I'm 6'6", I'm 320, and knock it off.
I bet you're 330 if you're a penny.
I bet I could beat you in a 40-yard dash.
Not a chance.
Bring it.
Not a
this sounds like a video we're going to have to shoot for the Facebook page.
It's going
to
happen.
He's going to start working out right now. We talked about this over the weekend at Devil's Lake. No, I got this bad thigh, man.
Exactly.
Calf muscle. I got this bad attitude as well.
Brandon, we laid out parameters on a 5-event challenge with the Four Outdoorsmen.
What are the 5 events?
First off, Strew said I'm not good at anything, so I challenged him immediately.
Yes.
So we're going to do – we haven't ironed all the 5 out, but 50-yard dash.
40.
We decided 50.
50-yard dash.
All right.
50-yard dash. I need at least 9 months to train, but we're going to do a 50-yard dash. What else?
Bowling.
I can do that.
5 shots at a par 3 closest to the pin.
I can do that.
And most hit baseballs on an 80-mile-per-hour fast pitch.
Oh, that would be fun. I forgot about that. That would be fun to try.
What was the other one?
We still need a couple. Strew disagreed with a few of them. I wanted to do 20 shots of skeet.
I love it. Oh, yeah, that was it. Our plan was to get the listeners involved, get some money on the line.
Place your bets.
Yes, and do something for charity. Raise a couple.
And what a coincidence, Sam.
After I said charity, he goes, that's a lot of work.
And what a coincidence. Sam met a young lady at the bowling alley. Her name is Charity. You figure this one out, pal.
We didn't go to a bowling alley.
Oh, didn't we? Where did we go? Hey, I tell you what, Brandon, again, after the show, there are some things we got to talk about because we laughed a lot, and there's some things you've got to hear about what happened this last 3 days at Devil's Lake. Hey, we're very, very blessed. Devil's Lake Tourism invited us out there. Susie and the gang invited us out there to spend a couple of days and really get a feel of what Devil's Lake Tourism is all about. They've been a good friend of ours for years, and we just had an absolute riot.
Yeah, it was a good time. It really was.
Yeah.
It was some long days, but it was fun being with you boys. And it's not very often you hop in a boat and catch your limit in an hour and a half, you know.
Yeah, and it was cool about a young man named Kurt from Perch Eyes. We're still trying to get him on for the second part of the show. The young man hasn't responded because maybe we're not big enough for
this guy.
Doesn't
he want to be famous? Come on.
Yeah, we're big shots. I signed my signature for him, and although with my Sharpie. But anyway, we did pretty well out there. We caught at least 30 walleyes, I'm guessing, in the 4 hours we were there. And
at least that.
But most of them were 14, 15 inches, whatever. Very nice fish.
Really
And
nice.
All of a sudden, by chance, about 15 minutes before we wrapped it up, Mark caught the 24.5-inch walleye, which was really a nice, beautiful, beautiful fish. Of course, we put that one back in the water, but that was really nice.
It was a good-looking fish.
Yeah.
Nice and thick.
Kurt knew what he was talking about because we were catching a lot of fish, right?
Yeah.
And you kept bringing up how you wanted to catch a big fish. And he knew what parts of the lake were going to hold fewer but bigger fish. He took us there. He delivered. So you need someone like that that has our finger on the pulse on the lake. Because if we would have showed up, I'm sure we would have caught a couple fish. But I guarantee we wouldn't have hit him like that.
We've been there for 6 years now, and we've never caught that many fish in the 3 or 4 hours on the water. Never.
I loved what he said. And I said, you know, obviously when I got in, I wanted to catch a 30-inch walleye.
That's
right?
Him, yeah.
And
which don't really grow in Devil's Lake.
Right, but I didn't care. How many times did I say it? Maybe a dozen.
Uh-huh.
He said, this is what I loved. He goes, let's go grocery shopping first, and then we'll go for a big one.
There you go.
That was cool how he put that. Let's fill the live well. Let's go grocery shopping.
And like a lot of the guys who are very experienced at guiding or fishing extensively, whether they're guides or not, he realized that Sambo here in the front of the boat was catching probably 4 fish to every one of ours. And then he was using spinner baits with a what do you call that sinker thing? Bottom bouncer. But he had a white spinner on his.
White and green.
Yeah. And Mark and I had gold or something, copper, something similar to that. And we caught one or two, and you're catching 3 or 4. Won't catch one. All of a sudden, we switched to white or something lighter. Yeah. And it worked because it was shady. It was cloudy that day a little bit, and we all caught a lot of fish. It was fun.
It was awesome.
He said the gold colored worked because it was sunny the night before.
Yeah.
So we had that rigged up, and that was doing really well. But he realized in a split second that we should change colors, and it worked immediately.
Yeah, he was on it. And we had a triple.
We did.
We had a triple.
And it's pretty amazing, and we always talk about how transformative electronics are and down imaging. But even for guides, what a tool that is. Because we were going over passes. You see fish 40 feet to the right, a group of fish. He marks it on his graph, and it gives him a waypoint. So the next pass, we go 40 feet over. So it's like, it's not a guessing game anymore if you know how to use that
stuff. Right, and that's the key is knowing how to use it. And those guys who use them, like he said, he fishes 7 days a week. So he knew how every trick to that computer.
It was pretty interesting as well. Like one time we were coming, we're trolling and drifting and trolling very slowly. I don't know what the speed was.
2 miles an hour, I think.
2 miles an hour. But all of a sudden he says, oh, boys, reel him up. We're going to come across a weed bed. He could see on his screen that whatever was down there was a weed bed.
Wasn't it trees?
Yeah, it was trees. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Probably was an old 1957 Chevy or something because Devil's Lake is full of that stuff in it. But yeah, it was a good time. And unfortunately, I caught a lot of fish, but I only brought one that I threw into the live box. What do you call that thing?
Live well.
Hey, live well. But do you
live box?
Yeah, I guess it all works. Yeah, it all works
for sure.
But we all got our 10. We can keep 5 a day and 10 in possession. We kept our 5 a day. We got our 10 fillets and. Boy, it was fun watching him clean the fish. These guys are fast, man.
I was just going to say that. I showed my dad that because I videotaped him cleaning it. And he cleaned those 15 fish in 2.5-3 minutes.
I'll tell you one thing that I love, too, is normally I'm taking my boys out, and I love that to death, right? But I'm the full-time guide, right? I'm baiting hooks and untangling snags 95% of the time, which is great. That's why I got a boat. That's why I enjoy it. It was really nice to swing my hook around and go, Dad, having someone bait your hook, have everything tied up. I'm not tying knots. Yeah. Basically, I'm just holding a pole in the water. It was so much fun. I'm so glad we did it. If we were there for a week fishing, it makes sense to bring a boat. But for us, we decided we were going to do a lot of different things. Totally makes sense to hire a guide. You're going to catch fish. It was a great experience.
It was my first. I'll definitely do it again.
Yeah. And we have gone out with guides, but this is the first time I think we've paid for an actual guide service. Yeah. And, you know, for those of you that haven't done it, if you're trying a new lake, you should do it. We showed up at a bait shop, hopped in his car, launched, and we caught fish, man.
To tell you, again, Kurt's not going to be on the show tonight. I do not believe unless he calls me real quickly for the second part of the show. But if you guys are curious about what it costs for a guide, and I'm sure they're all over the board, Perch Eyes on Devil's Lake, North Dakota, for a 4-hour stint was $275. And of course you tip him something, which we did, but so you figure, okay, if you got three guys, what's that, $90 a piece, they want a tip, $110 a piece, whatever it is, for 3 hours or 4 hours of really, really doing what you should be doing without fighting it forever, it's well worth it. And the convenience and they're nice guys and a lot of fun, and it's well worth it. That's the first time I've ever forked up a few bucks to pay for a guide. Although we take Scotty Merwin, we paid him one time, and that was because he was just a great guy.
I went out with Adam Griffith once on Waconia my dad was in town, and he loves catching crappie. So he took me out once on a paid trip, and it was worth it too, man. We were on the fish. My dad said he never caught so many crappies in his life.
Now, I'll tell you, we're talking names right now, but, you know, I don't want to throw them under the bus, but I'm going to. One of the guys in this building right now fished with the Grizz, and did you tip the Grizz, buddy?
Yeah, you better believe I did.
Did you?
Yeah, for sure.
Was he actually your guide, or he just took you out fishing?
He just took me out. Yeah, he called me even, which, yeah, you jealous now? He called me and was like, hey, you want to go fishing? And, like, I have a motto I live by. If the Grizz calls and asks you to go fishing, you say yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Was it, like, understood that it was a guided trip from the time being, or how did that work for you? Because, like, if a guide calls, hey, you want to go fishing, you're like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess it all kind of came up because I brought it up on the show. I was like, that's like a bucket list thing for me.
Absolutely.
I want to go fishing with the Grizz someday.
Yep. Absolutely.
And he must have been listening when I said that. So then, you know, he called me up and was like, hey, you want to go fishing?
Should we try that right now?
I think so. Hey, Grizz. Yeah.
I would really love to go fishing. Yeah. With the Grizz.
I say it's a bucket list item. You know,
it's a bucket list.
I told you this now. I met the Grizz years ago up in Ely, Minnesota. What's his full name?
Dick Gerswinski.
Okay. Mr. Grizz Jr.
He's an old east side of St. Paul, Oakdale, Maplewood guy, whatever. He's been around a long time, and everybody in the fishing industry knows who the Grizz is. But I met him up in Ely, Minnesota 40 years ago, I bet you. Darn near 40 years ago, because he was a good friend of my uncle, Vern Potter. Vern Potter was a truck driver. I don't know what the Grizz did for a full-time career. And he took my old man fishing on Armstrong Lake, where my dad, not a very big lake, where my dad fished all the time. And so I hop in my dad's 14-foot boat, 10-horse Johnson. And my old man got pissed off because all the Grizz did was fill up that cooler, baby. And my
He's
old
the
man
real
was,
deal.
Yeah, my old man, it's the same lake, same bait, same this and that.
And
but Grizz outfished my old man probably, he said, 8-1.
He was a bit of a celebrity on the river when we were there. There were people, you know, riding by on their boats being like, hey, Grizz. Like, they all were shouting him out. They knew who he was. He definitely put us on the fish. And he was pointing him out, too, like, because there would be people kind of following what we were doing, you know, but he was like
wood ticking,
and he's like, yeah, they're not catching them like we are. And the guy had like a real nice boat and stuff. He's like, yeah, it's a real nice boat, but that's not going to put any more fish in the boat.
You know, early, that's interesting as well. Early in our career, the four outdoorsmen, we were the angler and hunter years ago when we started this show. And we went out fishing a couple of times, Mark and I, Boomer, and I don't know, this is a couple of years ago, and all of a sudden people were following us as well. Remember, we had the old boat, the four outdoorsmen boat I bought. And that we thought they'd come up to our boat. They're all excited. We're thinking they're going to want autographs and stuff. All they hollered was, hey, where's Brian Zipp? No. He's in Bozeman, Montana. You got us right now. Brandon's our new boy right now.
But yeah, fishing with the Grizz was an honor for sure. Yeah.
Was it better than Tuesday night training at my house?
completely different world. This is apples and oranges here because I got to say, Sam, I loved it. Tuesday night was so much fun, and I look forward to getting a whole new group of people together to do it again. So I pretty much armed my entire church, or I'm at least working on it.
Nice.
Yeah. But we had a big group over at Sam's going over the concealed carry permit course and went out and did some shooting. And, yeah, everybody has been talking about it since then. Everyone's got, like, a wish list of guns. Like, I want to get this. I need that one. The girls are like, I need a pink one. Where's a pink guy?
Yeah, that was a good time. Pastor Al's a good dude. All the people that were with were good people.
Yeah, they Sam all have a lot of great things to say.
Yeah, Sam does conceal and carry permit classes, and that's really, really cool. But my guess is if you went over to Sam's house, is that where you did the class?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it was poolside, was it?
Oh, we were sitting poolside. It was comfortable. It's a beautiful setting there.
Yeah.
And actually,
it is.
Pastor Al just sent me a message. I don't know what it says. Or if he's listening, or if it's completely unrelated, but it just came in.
Now, Brandon, what did you learn that you did not know before at your permit to carry class?
I mean, there was quite a bit of stuff. A lot. I mean, just sort of more specifics. Like, one of the things is, like, knowing your target, what's behind it. Like, the target, the backstop, and beyond. Like, that type of a thing.
I'm so proud.
I got a phone call coming in. I think this is probably important. So,
all right.
Go ahead and...
You know, he's talking about knowing what your target is and what is behind the target.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to throw rain on this parade, but Diana knows this gentleman real well as well. My beautiful wife Diana's at home listening, and we have our place in Ely, Minnesota. And Dave Ekblad, a friend of ours we've known for many, many years, was up there with his family by the hunting shack, and they're doing some target practicing. One of the guys shot, and unfortunately...
Took a life.
Killed a little kid who was behind the target. and he was wearing camouflage. He's excited to go to Ely, Minnesota. He's a 9-year-old kid, whatever. He's got his camouflage on. And it was either his grandfather or his uncle. And Dave Ekblad, a friend of ours, was there. You know, all the preparation and care and safety in the world does not make up for that.
Horrific. Yeah, that's horrific.
That's a true, true story, and I'll never, ever forget it. And it was near our property in Ely, Minnesota, and somebody made a mistake, and how do you ever forgive yourself for that? I don't know. It's tough, man. It's tough.
I don't know. I mean, like, I think when you set up the target, I think at about the same range. But I was still doing some homework, you know, reading up on things and finding out that most like assaults or things of that nature happen within 7 yards, and that's about where the target that you put up was.
Right.
And you don't point your gun at something unless you intend to shoot it, and you shoot until the threat stops. And,
exactly, it's the tool of last resort for sure.
Yep.
And that's the thing, like what Stu just said. You know, when I talk in the class, a lot of it is about safety, and that safety not just for carrying every day. It's just every. You know, any type of gun situation safety, whether you're at the range, you're hunting, or you're carrying, because the biggest, you know, accidents are unfortunately being careless with safety, thinking, oh, I've done this for years. And that's why we talk about it.
And I do know that, like, the learning's not done yet. Like you said, you need to practice with your gun, get one, like, handle it, because, I mean, just like one class, I mean, though it was super informative and stuff like that, I'm not ready to go and face a threat like that, you know?
Like I said, too, in that class, I say it a lot. It's one of my favorite sayings. You know, I could go buy a guitar or a piano. It doesn't make me a musician. Just because, like, you took the course, I mean, it doesn't make you're going to be an expert shooter, but you got to shoot at dry fire practice and shoot at the range, because the only thing you retain is, Brandon?
Muscle memory.
That a boy.
Well, I'll tell you what you just said about the guitar and stuff, hits home, because you proved that this weekend. Just because you buy yourself a set of golf clubs does not make you a great golfer, right?
It's time for a break.
Are you kidding me right now?
Same thing. Trash.
No, I'm not.
During this break, I'm taking Stu out to the road. We're 40-yard dashing it.
We're going to be right back with Donnie Vincent.
The Four Outdoorsmen. Just average guys that love to hunt and fish and chew the fat on Bob Outdoors.
Devil's Lake Tourism invites you to the wonderful world of the outdoors. Not only is there jumbo perch, there's fantastic walleye fishing with no slot limit and 10 in possession, and there's more. Plenty of hiking trails, world-class hunting, great eateries, hotels, even a nearby casino. There is literally something for everyone who loves the outdoors. You need to find out why Devil's Lake has been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in the United States. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsman like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud, or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. Strewman, Sam, Mark, and Brandon, our fourth outdoorsman. But I'll tell you what, we've got somebody who should be in this studio right now as our fifth outdoorsman, because he's a bigger shot than we are, I'll tell you that. Hey, Donnie Vincent, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Every day's a gift, buddy. I'll tell you. Well, thanks for joining us. I know this is kind of short notice for you because we were having too much fun on Devil's Lake the last couple of days and forgot to find guests. And Sam said, I'll tell you what, the best guest we can find is a guy named Donnie Vincent. We had you on, maybe 5 or 6 months ago as well. Sam, say hi to your buddy.
How you doing, Donnie?
Good, man. How's it going?
Good. Hey, just wanted to thank you for taking the time, especially on a day like today with the Winds of ADAC coming out. We saw the trailer on the way home, and I'm going to watch it tonight, I can tell you that. And why don't you give the listeners a little bit of a briefing on what the film's about and where they can see it, and we'll throw some questions your way.
Yeah, they can see it. It's going to stream live, relatively live. It's going to stream at 7 Central, 8 Eastern on windsofadac.com, and that's through Benelli, basically. And it's just it was a film that myself and our production company, Sick Manta, put together in collaboration with Benelli. And they approached us last year. They're introducing some new firearm platforms to the marketplace. Namely, their big one is Benelli made their first ever bolt-action rifle called the Lupo. They have an over-under series that they came out with a few years ago called the A28U, and they're offering that in 20-gauge this year. And then the Super Black Eagle 3 has a new all-weather coating called the Best Coating. And so it was really a really incredible opportunity for me. This is the first time, you know, we're known for doing narrative documentaries. We do adventure films. That's our specialty. We do them. We create them for ourselves, and we sell them to the marketplace. That's how we fund our company, and that's how we kind of fund our adventures as well. But this one is with a collaboration with Benelli to introduce these firearms. And so I went to Alaska for a couple weeks and filmed and came to and put together what I think is going to be a pretty good story. It was I really want to commend Benelli for being pretty fearless on this one. A lot of companies like to tie their products to films, and they really kind of try to turn these things into commercials, long-form commercials, and Benelli didn't do any of that. They literally said, here's 3 guns. Go to Alaska. Go do what you do. We don't care if you talk about the guns. We just want a wholesome story, and we want real. And so that's what you're going to watch tonight, and it's very real.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch. I mean, obviously, I've watched all your films, and you guys put everything you guys have into it. I mean, you, Kyle, and William, I mean, it's – I was talking to the guys today. It just, there's nothing else like you describing what you're seeing, and it's amazing. And this, you guys shot this last October, right?
Yeah, we traveled there. I was in Alaska for 8 weeks with most of the crew, but then Kyle flew in right at the end of October, and then we got out to Adak Island, which is at the end of the Aleutian chain. That's kind of that long swinging dip that heads off to Russia off the southwest coast of Alaska. 1,200 miles from mainland Alaska, and so we were out at the end. We got out there at the end of October, and we stayed until November 12th or 13th, something like that.
Wow. My favorite line that you said in the trailer was the birthplace of wind. Can you describe the wind to us, if you can at all?
Yeah, man, if you find it, go find Adak Island on a map, and you'll see what I mean. It's a little tiny island, and it is the entire, everything to the north is the Bering Sea. Everything to the south is the Pacific Ocean. And it is literally stranded out there. There's almost no trees. There's a few small pine trees that the Russians would plant around freshwater springs so that when they would come back to the island in fur trading, that they could find fresh water pretty easily. But that's literally the only trees on the entire island. So it's always massive waves, always windy, and I believe it was the military, potentially the Aleutians. I wish I knew, and now I'm going to educate myself when we get off of this. But, yeah, they call it the birthplace of the wind. And the Aleuts would call it, they called it father of the wind, I believe is what Adak means. And so it was very, very windy, but the swell off the Bering Sea is really what was remarkable. It's just the size of the waves and the consistent size of the waves was haunting, to be honest with you. Very, very, very intimidating.
Yeah, we're talking about Donnie Vincent. I'll tell you what, Donnie, this is Steve Straczynski, and Mark is my other buddy on the other side. Of course, you know Sam, and you're talking about I think you're like, if Ted Nugent is playing A-ball, you're the major leagues, pal. You're Ted Nugent on steroids. You do the real deal, and I've seen a lot of your stuff, It is absolutely beautiful. And I think your productions are kind of like poetic videos of the wilderness. There's something there. There's inspiration. There's emotion. There's more than just going out and hunting and killing an animal. It's the whole story. Tell us more about the inspiration that you have to go out and do this kind of stuff.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and very quickly, it comes from a team of people. Kyle Nicolette is our director, producer, editor, and he's a educated filmmaker. William Altman is our director of photography. He's absolutely unbelievable with a camera. And then there's myself, and really my part is just that I grew up with a remarkable connection to the wilderness. I know a lot of people like to describe themselves as being addicted to hunting or having an obsession. It's what they think about all the time, and that's not really how I personally feel about it at all. I just feel completely indebted to Mother Nature and the wilderness and the wilds, whether it be a small woodlot like I'm standing in right now or the vast Arctic Circle in northern Alaska. And I just feel an absolute connection to the plants, the songbirds, the weather, turtles, snakes, caribou. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm not only motivated to be a hunter. I'm not only motivated for, you know, antlers or meat. A lot of people like to discern themselves as a meat hunter or a trophy hunter, and I'm neither of those. I just kind of like immersing myself. I like where my mind goes, and I like the man that I am when I come home. When I'm leaving the wilderness, I much rather like the person that I am than when I'm heading in. And that's just always a gift that being around Mother Nature has provided me. And so I just, filming and telling those stories and introducing wild places to people that may never go there or have never seen anything like that. It's really, you know, this career found me through just natural intrinsic relationship, I think.
You know, Don, you remind me of a good friend of ours, Billy Moles, because he talked a lot about the intrinsic value of hunting more than just killing an animal. And Billy Moles is all about that as well. And I love his videos and yours as well. You take it one step further. One thing you said that I'm envious about is that you said just getting out there and hunt and doing the things that I'm doing is something that I just have to do. And I think about my life, and seriously, I don't think there's anything that I'm as passionate about that I really have to do this. And you found it, and you should feel good about that, because very few people have gone that far and made that commitment.
Yeah, I agree with you. I see friends of mine. I see other people kind of, dare I say, hobbyless, and really, I see them going about their lives. Nothing's bad. Nothing's great. Nothing's dull. Nothing's really overly colorful. And I don't feel sorry for them because they're alive and they're living, and that in and of itself is a gift. But I feel very lucky to have this relationship and to get so gassed up by seeing the things that I get to see. I just saw a Connecticut warbler this morning near the offices of Sigmanta, and you know, the thing was unbelievably captivating. Just stopped me in my tracks, and I feel very connected to it.
You're a Wisconsin young man. You're a biologist, conservationist, a hunter, a filmmaker, and you like to inspire people. How did you get into this thing? You know, I was reading all about your biography and whatnot, and most of our mentors are moms and dads and someone who took us hunting. And you said, I think your mentor was a guy named Jack O'Connor. Who was Jack O'Connor?
He was a literary professor out of Arizona. I believe he was born and raised in Idaho, but then he went to Arizona to work as a professor. And he was the gun editor for Outdoor Life. And he would go on the most fantastic adventures with his beloved Winchester 270. And probably because he was such a gifted writer, but far more, I think he had a similar or same connection that I have with the wilderness. I could tell in his writing, as he would write about sheep or as he would write about brown bears or even the white-tailed deer, he just had such... he's such a wordsmith at describing the animal and how he felt when he would first see the animal and how it felt to hunt them. And he was also very eloquent about, he talked about how he would mount his rifle and swing through the animal should it be running, and how he would, you know, slap the trigger and hearing the bullet hit home. And he spelled it all out so that I could see it as well. And I could see myself doing it. And so every book I would get my hands on of his, I would just pour through. And luckily, my dad, although not a hardcore hunter at all. He did have a book collection and a gun collection, but his parents, my grandparents, bought him a book subscription from Outdoor Life. And so many of these books that would show up at their doorstep were penned by Jack O'Connor. And so luckily for me, my dad had this tremendous library, and I could just pour through both the illustrations when I was young and then start reading the books when I got a little bit older. And it just, there was no question in my mind what I wanted to do. I didn't know exactly what career I wanted, but there's no question in my mind that I was going to live and exist outdoors as much as possible.
Well, I tell you what, you be proud of yourself, because a lot of people, you know, we talk about this all the time. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And you jumped in with both feet and made it happen. You know, I'll tell you what, Outdoor Life, I'm 69 years old, and Outdoor Life was a huge part of my life. I don't hunt and fish as much as I used to. We have a hunting shack up in Ely, Minnesota, just off of Lake Vermilion. I spent a lot of my time up there. But Outdoor Life was my magazine as a kid. And I remember, even before I read any of the stories, I'd read that, "This happened to me." Remember that one page?
Oh, yeah.
"This happened to me," about things that happened in the woods or on the water, the rapids. That always got my heart pumping. But that inspired me to love the woods as much as my dad as well. I'll tell you what, do you remember the first animal you killed? Because harvest, I don't think, is even in your dictionary, because you say, I'm killing the animal, okay? It's what it is. Do you remember the first animal
That's
you
right.
killed and skinned, and what? How old were you when that happened?
I don't remember exactly how old I was, but for sure it was a gray squirrel. And my dad, my parents never had a lot when I was growing up, and so oftentimes my birthday is October 29th, and oftentimes my dad would say, "Hey, for your birthday, I'm going to take you hunting." And so, and literally, that's how often we would hunt, maybe once, twice a year. My dad was just not a woodsman. He knew that I lived for it, so he would take me, and we'd load up the 22s and head out. And I was the hunter. Like, I remember he'd kind of walk around the woods, and I'd say, "Hey, Dad, stop moving. There's deer coming." And he'd say, "Oh, where do you see those?" You know, and I'm kind of orchestrating the hunt. But I remember when I finally got to carry, he let me carry a bolt-action 410, and I shot a few gray squirrels in a day, I think two, and would skin them out and quarter them up, and I'd get the basically have one piece, which would be the back, then the two front legs, the two back legs. And anyone that's lived in the city is probably curling their nose up right now, but I'm telling you right now, I fry those up in a little bit of butter, and it's unbelievable. I still look at gray squirrels like they are a meal. And I took hunting them when I was in high school, I took hunting them very seriously, and people will laugh, but literally I would get all camoed up. I'd paint my face. I got a stool that was made out of wood so it wouldn't squeak. I had a .22 rifle that I got to know very, very well at the range, and I would go hunting by myself. I didn't really like hunting with other people because they would affect how the squirrels would move, and I would go blend into the landscape, and I would pride myself on taking a limit of squirrels home, skin them out, and it's very impactful for me.
We're talking with Donnie Vincent, and seriously, listeners, and Brandon, anybody else, if you haven't seen any videos of him, you have to see the stuff he does, because it'll blow your mind that a man's got balls this big, to be honest with you. And can I say that on this radio? I guess I already
did.
I guess I did. And I'll tell you, it's not just, it's like Billy Moles with the modern day mountain man. It's not just the hunt, it's everything involved, and you can't help but get emotionally involved. And what pisses me off, Donnie Vincent, is I sit on my butt way too long looking at this stuff, because you just can't walk away. Now, we on the way back from Devil's Lake just today, Sam and Mark and I were listening to your interview with Joe Rogan. Is that a couple of years ago, you think?
Yeah, that was a few years ago, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, probably. Yep.
All right, you know, and it's
yep,
and it's
yep, I think
and
it's fun too.
There's so much there. And one of the things you said more than once, and you said, again, if it's 2 or 3 years ago, this blows me away, because you said, "Listen, folks, something's going to happen. I don't know if it's tomorrow, next year, the next year. Something's going to happen that is definitely going to change our lives forever. And trust me, it's going to happen." And you prophesized that. Do you think COVID is what you were talking about?
Well, I'm certainly not going to claim that, but I do, if you look at, I wasn't predicting COVID, but if you look at how humans live their lives, and you look at how we're populating the earth, and you look at how we're affecting our soils to row crop, to feed that many additional people, and you look at countries like China, and you look at some of these other countries that are so inundated with people, it doesn't, you know, you can see how if a virus develops that is highly contagious and then is going to spread, like human beings, we're not set up for that. You can even see it now, and I don't want to offend anyone, but we now have all these mask rules, and I'm not against masks. I'm not one of these people that says for masks or against masks, but I can tell you that wearing masks, I'm probably going to get in hot water here.
Speak the truth, my man. Speak the truth.
If you're going to wear all these masks that we're wearing are completely pointless. Like, it might stop one person from getting a cold. It might slightly affect the spread. But if you're going to do anything with a contagious disease, if this disease was so contagious and had such a fatal rate that it was killing 10%, 20%, whatever, no one would go to a store. You wouldn't have to function a law at all. No one would leave their house. And if they did leave their house, they would have like a painter's mask on, sealed so close to their face that they're probably suffocating themselves.
Yeah.
Because if you throw a paper or a cloth mask over your face, you're doing virtually nothing other than maybe stopping a few germs from transferring. But if you do this enough, right, you might avoid it once or twice, but you're going to get sick. I'm getting, this is too long-winded, but yes, it's just, you can see how people are designed. You can see it in other animals, right? The white-tailed deer, you know, an area grows up with white-tailed deer. Densities go up, they go up, they go up, they go up. All of a sudden, here comes EHD, endozoonotic hemorrhagic disease, or another one affects the deer, knocks them all out, gets the population way down. They slowly start rebuilding. Same thing with coyotes, same thing with wolves, same thing with mice. You know, there's all these booms and busts. Well, people think they're immune to that. And we're not. We're an animal. We have fantastic abilities. We have opposable thumbs. We have massive brains. We have great compassion. We have a great wherewithal. We know how the world is kind of functioning. We know that we can affect other animals. You know, if I was just reading an Aldo Leopold this week, you know, we forced the passenger pigeon to go extinct. The passenger pigeon had no idea that it was going extinct. We forced it to go extinct because we were afraid of its impact on our farmers. Yeah. If we would have went extinct, the passenger pigeon would not give human beings a second thought. They don't have that capacity to think in that manner. But we know that the passenger pigeon is extinct. We know that we did that. We create museums around, or we put them in museums. We put them in glass cases. We build statues around to commemorate, you know, that we affected the species and we pushed it out. So we are a fantastic animal, capable of fantastic good. But we are also capable of the worst impact of any animal around. We are capable of equally fantastic bad things for both the environment and ourselves. And, you know, and luckily, this is my opinion, luckily COVID is very minimally deadly. I know some major athletes have gotten very sick. I know it's been hell on elderly. And I'm sorry for anyone that's had a tremendous loss, but luckily, I feel like this is kind of a dry run for us.
Donnie, we're going to make.
I'm going to get a lot of hatred off that, but that's the truth.
We're going to make it through this. I'll tell you what, Donnie. We're very blessed. Go ahead, Sam.
Donnie, we really appreciate you coming on tonight. We know you got to get going. You got that 7 o'clock premiere.
Yeah, that's right.
How about you tell the listeners how they can watch that tonight and how they can follow you in the future? Listeners, grab onto his shirt tail and enjoy the ride. Donnie, let them know how they can follow you.
Yeah, you can watch the film tonight on Winds of ADAC, WINDSOFADAK, windsofadak.com. It's in conjunction with Benelli. You can find my other films on DonnieVincent.com, and you can Instagram as Donnie_Vincent, DONNIE_Vincent, VINCENT, and that's pretty much, you'll be able to find it anything from there.
Well, we appreciate it, man. We'll let you go. Again, thanks for coming on here, and be safe, and have a good week, man. Enjoy the premiere.
Donnie, thanks.
Sorry about the hate mail.
We appreciate it. We love honesty, man.
We love honesty.
Hey, take care, buddy. Thanks for doing what you do. We'll be right back.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Second Amendment lives. Crocodile Productions' Gun and Knife Show is back. This Saturday and Sunday at the Buffalo Civic Center Ice Arena. New guns, old guns, accessories, antiques, and more. Open Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 3. Only $5 per day. Kids under 12 free with an adult. That's this Saturday and Sunday at the Buffalo Civic Center Ice Arena. Visit CrocodileProductions.com for details. CrocodileProductions.com.
You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top five fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust Strewman on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
The Twin Cities' biggest motorsports weekend of the summer is returning to ERX Motor Park in Elk River, August 15th and 16th for the Toyota Off-Road National presented by Lubtec. You'll witness a weekend of outdoor racing like you've never seen before as 900 horsepower off-road trucks take to the mile-long ERX track. Kids get in for just $10. Get your tickets and camping passes today at erxmotorpark.com. That's erxmotorpark.com.
Country Bob FM. I tell you, if you're just tuning into the Four Outdoorsman right now, you miss Donnie Vincent. And there again, if you haven't seen Donnie Vincent's videos or YouTube, he's got like 38,000 people subscribing to his stuff. It really is amazing what this guy can accomplish.
When he was on Joe Rogan. That's insane.
He has
hundreds of thousands of followers, and just the video of the Joe Rogan on YouTube has like over 3.5 million views.
I could do a full hour show with just like Joe Rogan questions.
Oh yeah.
Did you get to shoot his bow and arrow? Was the werewolf thing there? Did you hold the flamethrower?
Yeah. See, but I would rather talk to Donnie because he kind of gets melted in his words because he's so poetic.
He is a poet that enjoys the outdoors.
I like it.
If you listen to it, that's the first time I've listened to Joe Rogan. I know he's got a big podcast, but you have to be ready for some Effenheimers. That guy, he's right off the cuff there. But it was filter. It was fun. But Donnie Vincent, if you look at some of the things that he has done, and they throw him out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, with no communication, nothing for 4, 5, 6 months sometimes, and he's way out there, and he survives, and he does his thing. And it's not just about killing an elk; it's about finding your whole being involved with being one with
nature.
The,
yeah.
Oh man, it's amazing. But his videos are beautifully stunning.
Because I love like Life Below Zero. You guys ever watch
that
one?
Oh, yeah.
So stuff like that. So that's I'll get into Donnie Vincent's
videos.
Yeah, you
would love
him. Sure.
What was the place at the Science Museum that used to sit back and watch the big videos there of nature? What was that called?
In Minnesota?
The Omni Theater.
Yeah, the Omni Theater.
His movies are kind of like that because the videography is so fantastic and superior. It's just like...
You want to see that in an IMAX?
It's amazing. And a good buddy of mine said that Donnie could describe a dog going to the bathroom in your backyard and make you want to go buy a dog. Just because he's so
just for
smooth.
The poop.
Just to clean it up. Because Donnie, the way he described it, was amazing.
Well, see, it's a compliment to Sam for getting Donnie as a guest because he met Don. Where did you meet him? Florida.
Craigslist. No. Donnie owns a production company called Sick Manta. They do a lot of stuff for National Geographic, Discovery Channel, big, you know, companies in the industry, and then obviously his own films. And he did the commercial shoot that I was in for Shields and Fiocchi Ammunition a few years ago. So Kyle, Nicolette, the guy you mentioned, William, and Donnie were there, and I got to hang out with them for a few days. And we've stayed in contact quite a bit. I talk to Kyle a lot and Donnie every once in a while, so we stay close. So called in a favor today to get him on the show, and it was a great day since it was
so,
his premiere.
So if some of your fans want to see that commercial, how do they find it? Can they still find it?
No. So go to my mom's Facebook page.
There you
scroll
go, yeah.
down it's a couple of years.
It's not pinned to the top of her page?
You could find it on Shields Outfitters on their Facebook, I'm sure.
Marky Boy, got any shout-outs?
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for writing in the shout-out page. We got quite a few here, so we're going to get through that. Corey Bechtold says, what's working now? Taking kids and teaching them how to catch fish. Full report to come on the page. Jesse, say it, Sam.
Koskinimi.
I don't know why I can't say that. It says, hey, guys, I'm kicking back, having a cold one, listening to my favorite podcast. Craig Rudolph Jr. says, just got done with a great stir-fry meal with some family. Our good friend Bill Katz says, just relaxing. Renee Splett says, smoked salsa and Bloody Mary mix for next time we get out fishing.
Where does Renee live?
Smoke Bloody Mary mix and salsa. That sounds awesome.
Is that a photograph of that?
Corcoran.
Yep.
We gotta post that. My wife's gotta make this.
Mike Raymond says he's setting out cameras, ready for deer hunting season. Eloise Sumption says, my guys were cutting wood for deer camp in between the downpours of rain. Holy Hannah, but they got her done. And Justin Hansen said, shout out to Sam. What a great guy. And, oh, that's nice. And thank you for, we got some new ones in this week. So thank you, everybody, for writing. Remember next week to comment on the Four Outdoorsmen. And while I'm talking here, let's thank our sponsors. Thank you, Devils Lake Tourism. They just are great hosts. There's so much to do there. We can go a little bit more on what we did. Wonderful place. You know, Canada's closed right now. So if you're looking for a place to go to catch fish, enjoy the outdoors, go to Devil's Lake. They're great people. Who else we got? We have McKay's Dodge.
Yeah, McKay's Dodge in Waite Park. Tell them the Four Outdoorsmen sent you. Look for Travis. They'll take care of you. Good family organization.
Balsam Beach.
Balsam Beach. Thank you, Balsam Beach. And I think we are signing again with Power Lodge, my favorite power sports dealer, right down the road here on Highway 10. So thank you, Power Lodge. We're going to get that worked out this week. So thank you, sponsors. Without you, we're nothing.
And we are nothing. But I'm going to expand on Balsam Beach because Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park, just 5 miles south of Bemidji. And they've been good to us, and we had so much fun. And it's a wonderful place to get up there as well because, like you said, like Mark, you said, Canada's closed down. May as well do all your stuff at home. So we're fortunate to have sponsors like that to keep us out here because we have a lot of fun doing it.
I have one more shout-out to a very, very nice sheriff on our way home. Why don't you tell this story, Sam? He was one of the nicest law enforcement officials I've ever met.
And I'll tell you what, when you hear what Sam's going to say, you're not going to believe this man did not get a speeding ticket. Go ahead and tell the story. This is cool.
All right, so Stru won't shut up.
And
We're driving down. We're talking. We were talking about work.
Probably.
We're just talking about life.
That's all
you know.
We talk about.
Stru's reading the newspaper, chiming in. We're having a good time, right? And there was some just construction, and I didn't know that the speed limit dropped from, what was it, 60 to 40?
It was 55 to 40. We're in North Dakota, by the way, still.
Yes, yeah. Grand, just outside of Grand Forks. And I had my cruise set at 59. And so I pass, we go through an intersection, I'm going 59, and he whips around. And sure
I'm
enough,
nervous for no reason. We're doing nothing wrong. No. But for some reason, I'm like looking around the car for beers and, you know,
we were doing fine.
Paraphernalia or something.
Yeah. So he came up and he came up laughing
with a mask on. With a mask on.
He goes,
right.
You can't tell, but I'm smiling right now. And I said, okay. And so he goes, do you know how fast you're going? I said, honestly, I don't because me and Mark, I looked at it, I was like, was I speeding? And sure enough, I was going 19 miles over the speed limit.
And the guy let him go.
I combed my hair when he went back in and came back, gave him the old, you know, 6'6" charm. How you doing? No, he was a nice guy. He said he has a rule, which is a great rule.
I don't understand the rule, but it worked for you.
He said, when I start my shift, I don't give a ticket to the first person I pull over.
And I don't know why that is. 19 over is a lot.
So if you're in Grand Forks from 7 to 8, go as fast as you want.
Yeah, exactly. During shift change.
Yeah, what time does shift start?
Yeah, exactly. And then Stru offered him a couple walleye fillets.
Then Mark, all of a sudden, Mark, the guy with anxiety, is thinking, oh, God, he's going to check
he's
our fish.
He's going to count our fish.
Yeah,
we didn't do anything illegal. I'm like, why'd you say that? Now he's going to count our fish. Yeah.
Were you carrying, Sam?
I had a pistola underneath Stru.
Yeah, sit on this. No. Sit on this. Yeah.
Sit on this. Throw us out the window. Swallow this. No, it was an unloaded firearm, and it was cased.
Doesn't do
so
any good unloaded.
Yeah, because Sam figured he can beat up anybody in North Dakota. He didn't need a weapon if things got bad there. But
there's
yeah,
only 45 people there. I could get through the first 20.
Now, do you remember the guy's name? So say a shout out to him.
I don't.
Officer
Grand Forks.
There you go. There you
cool guy McGee.
Yeah, cool guy, face mask guy.
But, Mark was saying that years ago you got a speeding ticket for going 4 miles over.
I did. Yeah, I got pulled over.
No, crappy. No, excessive acceleration.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to do you a favor and give you an excessive acceleration. I've never excessively accelerated in my life. I drive like an old lady. But he's like, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm like, thanks, buddy. Thanks a lot for
thank
your
favor. Thank you. 4 miles over, though. That's ridiculous.
How old were you?
I was in my 20s, I guess.
Oh, wow.
I do want to say I back the blue 100%.
Yep. Oh,
I appreciate this guy's service.
I told him that.
I said, I thank you for the service. You know, they're all trained to go out the home at the end of the day. So fight for our police. Hoorah.
You mean you didn't get out of the car and start screaming at them or something?
No.
But But
if
he finished.
If I could have bought him dinner, I would have.
But he finished with, no, I thank you very much for your service. But you realize how stupid you look with a mask driving by yourself in a car?
No, he put it on when he got out. I saw that.
Oh,
in the
did he?
Mirror. Yes,
did he?
Yes.
Okay.
I like that reminded me, though, of something you said at the class, Sam, too, like that you come from a generation, so do I, where like you see a cop out, like eating or whatever, you buy their meal.
Absolutely.
You let them cut in front of you in line. You get them, you know, whatever, like that. You take care of them. And now we live in a world where they just like yell at them. They got to like check their Starbucks order before they leave because they don't know if there's something weird in it. Or...
Exactly. I'm a 100% supporter of our military and police, you know, hashtag blessed. You know, I love our military. I love our police. I'll do anything for them. I back him 100%.
Underpaid, Bill.
America.
Oh yeah.
Underpaid.
I mean that wholeheartedly. Let's bring
some respect back to the people who serve.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you should go up and thank them. You should thank them for the service. If you see them in the restaurant, if you can't afford it, buy their meal. They deserve it. They don't get paid enough.
Hey, listen.
I'm fired up right now.
The show we have is called The 4-Hour Outdoorsman. So I just read a story in one of the local newspapers. This is all outdoors, and we're talking about having the 50-yard dash, right? And these guys are going to – Sam thinks he could beat me right now. Probably could. Probably could. But I could probably just – can I tackle you?
You could hang on to me while you're
he'd drag you the whole 50 yards.
And Mark's going to have to get in shape, and we all are. And so it's going to be
– No, let's back up for a second.
What?
You've been giving Mark crap all day about this. he's gonna smoke you.
I'm hoping he does. I want to see the abs like I have now after the Photoshop of that photo I had about 3 weeks ago. But no, it's gonna be fun. I think we should do this. Let's follow through with doing something like that and have a lot of fun. Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
Do you want in?
Can you shoot the gun to start us?
Pow! And I can now.
All right.
But anyway, so we're talking about running 40 or 50 yards, whatever it is, and hopefully we get a chance to do that. But I just read this. This is funny because, not funny, there's a guy from Ottawa, Illinois, who just completed a 1,147-mile run from St. Croix Falls to Sturgeon Bay on Monday. He broke the record, and he finished it in 38 hours and 20 minutes.
Was someone chasing him?
That's Forrest Gump stuff.
Why is he running that?
Oh, no. Here's what it was. I got the story right, but not the facts right. A record time in 21 days, 13 hours and 35 minutes. And he slept 38 hours or something like that. But 21.
That's a big difference. 20, he finished it in 38 hours. Oh, sorry. I mean 21 days.
21 days. That's how much he slept.
21 days. Anyway, 21 days. Can you picture running for 21 days, 1,147 miles? No, why?
Absolutely not. I can't.
Running is a survival technique.
Why?
Yes. I only want to do a 40-yard dash because, like I said, 0 to 40, I'm okay. 41, I picked up a trailer and threw the parachute.
Hey, I was texting Nick Hoffman today from
Nick's Wild Ride.
Great guy. He's funnier than heck. And just looking for guests for the next couple of years. We haven't talked to him for quite some time. He's a good guy. And I saw a show last night of him in Spain. And I thought, this is so cool. So I said, boy, I just saw the one about you shooting some kind of animal in Spain.
Ibex, yep.
A lot of fun, a great show. I said, to hit something at 1,000 yards just blows me away. He said, well, I've never shot an animal at 1,000 yards, but I have shot targets at 1,000 yards. I'm not sure what animal you're talking about. So when I looked at the story, it was 300 yards. I meant 1,000 feet. Okay. How about 1,000 feet? Yeah. Can you do that?
That's like sniper.
So I got the story right. I just got the facts all screwed up.
Speaking of shooting a distance, not to segue into Wyoming really quick, but they had a couple of the stages in Wyoming that were 425 yards and like 475 yards. And Wyoming, it was in a kind of a flat area, so it was pretty windy. And these guys just, while they're running through a stage, you know, already shooting 30, 40 shots with a pistol and shotgun, grab an AR and pull up on a post and hit 425, 475, like ting, ting. Like it's nothing. I'm just like, whoa.
Now you're going to be bear hunting pretty soon, right?
Yep.
When's it open? A couple of weeks?
I can start baiting this next weekend and then September 1st.
Oh, that's only 3 weeks, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, here's something that was in outdoor news as well. Because Rob Driesline, a friend of ours, of course, Outdoor News, was in the Boundary Waters recently, and they could not find a tree wherever they camped that would haul their cooler high enough to prevent the bears from doing their thing. And so the DNR and the state of Minnesota suggesting make sure when you go to the Boundary Waters or wherever you go camping, have yourself a bear-proof cooler or packaging stuff. And how do you know this kind of thing? And so do you know that there is an organization I'm trying to think where it is, that are doing bear, oh, it's in Alaska, I think, bear-proof tests. No, it's Yellowstone National Park. And if you go to, hang on a second.
It's actually Wisconsin, folks.
No, hang on
and
a second.
It's actually a totally different bears. Country. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to visit the Interagency Grizzly Bear Committee's website at www. And I don't have to say that
no,
anymore,
you
right?
Don't.
It's in here, though. And it says www.
Repeat it.
IGBCOnline.org. IGBC.
What is this for?
Online. And they do videos. They are throwing coolers to grizzly bears and letting them beat the crap out of them so they can figure out what they have to do to prevent the black bears or grizzly bears getting into your stuff.
I've seen those.
We've got you have seen those?
Job. Yeah.
You seen the videos?
A lot of big cooler companies, they show those. If you could just YouTube bear attack cooler.
Or you could go to
www.igbnw9er/93. Yeah, I've seen those.
Hey, finish the show yourself. I'm out of here. No, you're making fun of me. I'm out of here. Go ahead. You think you're good? Come on, big shot. Show me how you finish the show.
Anyway, so you can YouTube them. They're pretty fun to watch. I'll show you once, Drew, man.
Okay, just by going to bearcoolerproof.com.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. Hey, speaking about Wyoming, you came back from Wyoming. You missed last week's show, right?
Yep.
But tell us all about Wyoming. It was a cool deal again?
Yeah.
Kind of like Florida?
In 1 minute.
All right.
1 minute.
No, it's pretty cool. It's a Magpul Governor's Cup, so it's there was 350 shooters. You know, you had pistol, AR, shotgun. What was really cool about it, like I said, the governor was there. He came and shot, which was awesome. The lieutenant governor of South Dakota, a bunch of legislators, people in charge of the parks out there. It was pretty cool to see, you know, some of our legislators and governors, you know, shooting guns with competitors. It was a
fun
event.
And they seemed knowledgeable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they wanted everyone to, you know, walk them through it like they were rookies. But, yeah they were all very confident of the shotgun part, obviously. But it was a good time. I mean, a lot of good people there and good to see that. And no one was wearing face masks, which was awesome.
And you schmoozed. You made some good connections for your business, I hope.
Yes, I did. Yep. Bought a cowboy hat. A Stetson 61 Silverbelly.
I saw the picture.
I haven't seen the picture. Ooh. Why would you pay $50 for a cowboy hat?
It's a Stetson, baby.
Wait till you see the picture.
It's a real cowboy hat.
Why would you pay $100 for a cowboy hat?
Wait till you see the picture.
Am I going higher?
No. because 6'6 turns into 6'10 when you're wearing a cowboy hat.
I bet it does. I want to see that cowboy hat.
Stetsons are not cheap either, though.
Yeah. It's a six. Let's move on. Roll the bumper.
Yeah. All right, tell you what, we're going to wrap it up right now. Thanks to Donnie Vincent for being on the 4 Outdoorsmen. Donnie, you're the real deal. Good luck with your premiere tonight. The name of the movie is?
Winds of Adak.
And it's a one-hour video that he put together. I can't wait to see it ourselves. Talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen.
See you, boys.
Oh, Mark, you got something to say?
Get outside and make some memories.
He's a big shot.